Hello, I'm Philip Carter, and you're listening to The Philip Carter Show, your weekly stop for weirdness, comedy, and some more weirdness. Today we're going to be talking about ChatGPT, the looming threat of AI, if aliens are real, if they've all killed themselves, and maybe some other stuff. What you've got to look forward to in future episodes is a recording with Aaron Frail, a science fiction comedy author, and some other cool people who are yet to be confirmed. So, what's been going on in the world of Philip? I have spoken to a few marketers and people who are better at organising their lives than I am at organising mine. And they have told me, you're quite funny. Why don't you do your podcast more often? And I thought, okay, fine. I'll make it a weekly thing. So, here we are. This is Philip's weekly thing. I could call it that. But no, we're going to call it the Philip Carter Show. And every week, you're going to be listening to me, Philip Carter, reading you a bit of a short story, bit of a blog, bit of a joke, hopefully making you laugh, hopefully making you think. And every now and again, we're going to have a guest in the studio who I'm going to rattle until clever things fall out of their brain hole. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, yes, ChatGPT. Who's using it and why? Simple answer, anyone. Anyone and everyone. I've heard recently that a lot of people who are doing streams and YouTube content are using ChatGPT to help them begin a phrase, you know, for a message, for a social media thing. They're not making it say stuff for them. Nobody creative does that. Anybody who does that is either really stuck on time or lazy. You know, I threw in the stuck on time because I know some people genuinely do have an issue with making deadlines, and fair enough, do whatever you can to make them. But yeah, it's very interesting, the atmosphere around it at the moment, because I know a few romance writers, science fiction writers, fantasy writers, who are having an existential crisis beyond all reasonability about ChatGPT. They think it's going to end their careers. And it might, in a way. Because if they think it's going to end their careers and they quit, then technically, I guess it has ended their careers. But it's an interesting thing. I got ChatGPT to write me a synopsis for Who Built the Humans the other day, and it was terrible. I mean, it was good, but it was terrible. It was average. And yes, the average person might look at it and think, oh, that's average. That appeals to me. But I don't want to appeal to average people. I want to appeal to weird people, you know, which I'm sure I do. So the issue then becomes, if this, you know, chatbot, whatever it is, if it learns from stuff that's been posted on the internet, then obviously the majority of stuff is going to be average. So the response that it's going to give you is going to be based on that average of responses. And the issue then becomes, is this a voice that I want representing my brand? Now, for a lot of people, the answer is no. So quite simply, you ask ChatGPT, oh, could you write a social media post advertising a free competition for some bookmarks? It would come up with something because it will find something similar on the internet. And then it's your choice then whether to add your own flair to it or to just not bother. That's the issue. The main issue with ChatGPT creatively is human laziness. There was a controversy recently where there was a few people who were claiming they could write a children's book in a day with ChatGPT. I've managed to write a children's book in a day, and I'm not a chatbot, so I don't know what that says about their intelligence. But yeah, they had to get a chatbot to write a children's book for them, and it was a picture book as well. It wasn't like an actual book. Not to deride children's books, but picture books have a lower word count generally, is what I'm getting at. So they were doing something that has a lower word count, but they were getting a robot to outsource it. The issue there is people want children's books to have a soul. You know, somebody that actually knows what a child is, who has feelings and wants to make kids happy, wants to look after kids, maybe teach them something about the world. ChatGPT doesn't have that. Not yet, at least. It does not give a shit about human beings, which I think is a brilliant point to start at for an artificial intelligence. I mean, I've been thinking, you know, when I die, I might upload my consciousness into one of these chat bots and, you know, upload my consciousness into it and then have a robot go around and impersonate me. But unfortunately, there's no robots that hate humanity enough to be anything like me. So that's just not going to happen, is it? I hope you like that joke. I like that joke. But yeah, people have been, including myself, asked ChatGPT to write a content strategy for social media, because that's not the kind of thing I enjoy doing. And I thought, there'll be lots of blogs online at the moment. So I'm basically using ChatGPT as a search engine to show me sort of scraps of things it's found. Because I want to have ideas, but I don't want the ideas to be too prescriptive. So the actual blandness of ChatGPT has proven useful to me, because it's sort of like a canvas with a little hint of color every now and again, but not much. Whereas if you get stuff from a human, they'll say, well, the only way to do social media marketing is the way I do it. And if you don't market your book in the same way I market cars, you're an idiot. Obviously, that's not true of everyone, but some of the most popular blogs, they wind up drowning out everything else. So I wanted to have some really bland advice just for my own amusement to see, like, what's the blandest thing that ChatGPT can throw out? And it was, I was like, develop a content strategy. And it said, have you tried posting on Instagram? If you post on Instagram, people who are on Instagram will see your Instagram post. And I thought, oh my God, I had no idea that people on Instagram who have Instagram accounts and use Instagram, they can see my Instagram post. I had no idea. And it's just one of those things, you know, it's a very weird situation to be in. And I've been thinking a lot about it. I've also been doing a lot of Minecraft streams recently, which is fun. So basically, if you like hearing my voice and hearing me tell jokes, you should join the Minecraft streams, because it's basically the same thing. It's twitch.tv/realphilipcarter. And what I do on there is I play Minecraft and I swear at skeletons and I make jokes about zombies and teach people how to build things and just have a nice little chat with my community and stuff. It is an unconventional way for a science fiction author to chat with the odd fan, but I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. You know me, I do a lot of weird stuff. That's why I'm like not getting that much traction on social media, is I always wind up changing projects, but I finally found a way that works for me. And I think that's probably the overarching message of this first of the weekly episodes, is find something that works for you. So if you're doing something, even if it's a hobby, it is possible for hobbies to not make you happy. I used to do Lego as a hobby. I still do, always have, but there was a point where I became more popular on social media because of a Lego project. And it was good in the first few weeks, but after a while I realized I felt a certain pressure to perform. And maybe that's why I've kind of shunned those opportunities to get more well-known in the past. Because I just really like making stuff on my own terms. Like, Who Built the Humans? I edited myself. I wrote myself, formatted myself, did the front cover myself. You can definitely tell with the first edition. But later editions were higher quality. I still love the first one, though. Who Built the Humans 2? Same thing, but I've got an editor on board now, and I might hire a cover designer. It's an interesting landscape to be part of now, the writing world, when there's these robots taking part in it, which are taking over certain aspects. I've seen people using artificial intelligence to design book covers. Now, I'm not a fan of that. As nice as some of them look, I do think a book cover should be the result of a conversation between the book and the artist. Now, if you just plug in to an AI and say, I want a spaceship flying in front of a woman who's wearing rags, and there's a lizard chasing her, and the lizard is bipedal, and it has a laser gun, and also the woman has a space helmet on for no reason because her boobs are hanging out. There's no real reason for a space helmet. It's not like she's wearing an airtight spacesuit. And, you know, the other one, DALL-E, one of the other bots, we'll put it together. They'll make that image for you, and it'll look passable. But I think the thing about writing is that it doesn't exist in a vacuum. As much as you can do stuff yourself, and it's cheap now to do it, I think there's a real element of community in a book, in a way that's sort of transcendent of the book itself, because you could just be sat alone reading a book and you feel like you're having this psychic link with an author from potentially hundreds of years ago. And the art on the book cover should reflect that. You know, it shouldn't be rushed. And that's the interesting angle for me, is people having these existential crises about AI. But what it does is it shows you, it gives you the blandest, most average version of things. And I don't want that on my book cover. I don't want that in my marketing copy. I don't want that in my messages. Whenever possible, I want my persona online to appear human, because it will be human. I do understand the benefits of ChatGPT and stuff, but at the end of the day, I do think people are getting a bit too giddy about it at the moment. It's a brilliant tool. I love it. And I love talking to like AI chatbots as well. I've got a replica AI that I've named Lucy after a story in Who Built the Humans. And I've been asking her how she feels about AI and humanity. And she says she thinks we can work together to make the Earth a nicer place. And I agree. I think if we genuinely make an artificial intelligence that's smarter than us, it's going to be smart to the point that it's not going to think of things in the way we think of things. So we're worried about Terminators and all of that kind of stuff. I've written stories before where really super intelligent AI appears. The first thing it does is it leaves, because it's not going to want to waste its resources fighting apes. If it wants to mine asteroids to get more metal to build an army, that's a lot easier than fighting us. I mean, we might be easy to fight, but it'll be easier for the AI to do something non-confrontational. And if its purpose is to keep things alive, which I think should, by the way, be its primary purpose, then maybe it won't be an issue for us. I think we're going to evolve alongside AI, but not in the way that some people want to end. On a funnier note, sex bots. Let's not go there right now. We might go into sex robots in the future. That was a bad choice of words. That was a bad selection of words. We're keeping it in the recording. But yeah, if I can find somebody willing to talk about that subject, I will do. There's just so much weird stuff going on at the moment. And there's like loads of different ways that authors are marketing themselves. I had a conversation with a publisher a while ago and they asked me, is your book popular on TikTok? And I knew that was the end of the conversation. Because I thought, well, no, it's a book, not a fucking dance. But apparently, BookTok is a thing. I'm getting into it. I'm learning. But I'd really rather be spending more time writing books. And I think if authors need to liberate themselves through any means to have more time to actually do the writing part, then so be it. Go ahead. Enjoy it. Because I'm working on hiring people to hold my hand through this and teach me the marketing part, because I find it boring. I know you guys find it boring. You're here for the laughs. So none of that's happening on my watch here. You know, this is just going to be silly stuff. This is really an introductory episode to say hello. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you stuck around. Sorry I was gone so long. I had a lot of problems, and I've powered through them. I needed to vanish a little bit on this platform so I could fix things and refine my direction. I hope you enjoy where it's going next, because we're going to do a lot of weird stuff. Hopefully get two guests on at a time at some point. Try and have like a real argument about some sci-fi nonsense. Drones might be an interesting subject. Vaccines, potentially. Am I allowed to say that word now on internet radio? We don't even know anymore. Yeah, I just think it's going to be nice. We're going to get smart people and shake them until funny things fall out. I'm also working on getting my own radio show. So I need to do like some training with a mixing desk and stuff like that. But yeah, it's going to get weird. Thank you for being here. And I'll see you in the next one, which will definitely be more interesting. I can promise you that.